Now, we heard earlier from Bernard Frank about how space agencies are using the moon as a target for experimental spacecraft to test new technology. But are there still scientific questions about the moon to be answered? Or having landed there with the Apollo missions, have we found out much of what there is to know about its geology? Jessica Barnes is a geophysicist at the Open University, and she told me that in recent years it's become clear that there's actually much more water on the moon than was previously thought.
We have a mixture of evidence. First of all, there are different reservoirs of moon water. We've got water on the surface, which has been detected by spectrometers in orbit about the moon since the late 1990s. And then we have evidence of water in the moon, and that mainly comes from samples that we have, which were A, brought back by the Apollo missions, and B, from lunar meteorites.
You've been looking at water locked up in rock samples. Presumably those were brought back by those landing missions in the 60s and 70s.
Exactly, yes. Primarily the samples that I'm looking at are the Apollo samples, primarily Apollo 11, 12, 15, 16 and 17. And in the work that I've presented at EPSC, we're looking at rocks of the lunar crust, which are mainly sourced in the Apollo 17 collection.
How easy is it to get hold of that material? I guess it's quite a limited reserve of material that NASA have to give away.
Well, you'd think that, but they brought back 380 kilograms of rock and soil samples. So from a geologist's point of view, that's a lot of material. In theory, anyone can apply for samples, but you have to have good scientific reasoning.
The Apollo missions all landed on fairly flat parts of the moon because it was safer. Does that mean that you've only got samples from that particular kind of geological region?
In theory, yes, but because of the impacts and the way the moon has been cratered, it means that material has been shoved around the moon, so we can't actually pinpoint exactly where it came from, but we have a fair idea due to their chemical composition.
So is the water content of these rocks fairly consistent between different rock types?
Firstly, our group at the Open University is investigating a specific kind of mineral. It's a calcium phosphate mineral called apatite, and we're looking at apatite throughout all the different Apollo missions and also the different rock types. So one person in our group, Dr. Roman Tartez, is investigating the Mare basalts. They're showing much wetter compositions of water, so up to thousands of parts per million water. Whereas the rocks that I'm looking at are rocks of the crust formed by different geological processes, and they're proving to be drier than the rocks formed by volcanism, essentially, on the moon.
So is that because those rocks have dried out, or is it because they formed at different times from different material?
The latter, I think. The rocks that we're looking at of the lunar crust, those rocks are thought to have formed anywhere between 4.44 billion years ago to 4.3 billion years ago. So these are very old rocks. The other rocks, the Mare basalts, are formed by volcanism, thought to have been much later. They're dated anywhere between 3.9 and 3.1 billion years. So the water we're measuring, and I should mention, in apatite we're measuring hydroxyl, which is OH, and then we extrapolate to water to work out how much water is in the magmas. But the reservoirs that those two different types of rocks are sampling are thought to be different. And how we can tell that they're different is due to their hydrogen isotopic composition, which is another thing that we measure on our instrument.
So the crust is older than this volcanic rock you've been looking at. How's that come about?
Well, it's thought from early analyses of the Apollo samples that we have this thing called a lunar magma ocean soon after the moon accreted. So basically, you've got a small core and everything else is molten. And from that molten sea, plagioclase feldspar, so a light, low-density mineral, crystallizes and then floats to the surface. And that's what forms initially a veneer and then later the lunar crust. Almost like an orange, you've got a small crust around the outside, which is formed very early on, and then everything else solidifies from that crust.
So the moon was mostly molten at that time, but it had these solid lumps of rock floating on the surface of that magma.
Very early on, yes. And then slowly that built up a crust.
And then how did those different kinds of rock end up with different water content?
that's the most interesting part of what we're looking at. So in each of the samples, when we're looking at apatite, we can measure the hydrogen isotopic signature of the water, and that allows us to pinpoint a source region in our solar system. Different objects in our solar system tend to have different hydrogen isotopic compositions, so that almost allows us to fingerprint where the hydrogen in the apatite has come from. And what's emerging is that most of the samples of the lunar crust show a signature very similar to water we see on Earth. This is in difference to what we see in the basalts, which are formed later.
These are the volcanic rocks.
Those are the volcanic rocks, so the Mare basalts, the glasses. It's thought due to their water compositions that they actually formed from a late addition of water by asteroids. So if you imagine the moon formed the crust, only a few impacts on the surface, and then later you have more impacts which actually pierce that crust and deliver water into the interior of the moon. And that's where we think the water locked up in the volcanic rocks actually came from.
There's long been a debate about where the water on the Earth came from, whether that arrived in the form of comets soon after the Earth formed. Presumably knowing where water on the moon came from is also telling you about our own planet.
Potentially, yes, but there are still debates on how our moon formed. So I think we can go as far as saying the signature of lunar water is increasingly becoming apparent that it's more Earth-like. But with regard to how the moon formed itself, that's still in debate. But we can learn a lot about Earth's history and what was happening in the solar system early on from rocks of the moon, because they're much older generally than anything we have on Earth. So from a geological point of view, it's fascinating. And with all the new technology we have available now, we're finding out things about the moon, like the water content of rocks, which you couldn't do in the Apollo era because the technology wasn't available or it wasn't accurate enough.
Jessica Barnes, who's a PhD student at the Open University in Milton Keynes.